her about life before the apartment. After a few moments, however, she answered. Maybe she sensed, like Alex, that the silence needed to be filled in order to keep them sharp. Or maybe she's finally starting to trust me.
We go on my birthday every year, Yasmin said. Left field bleachers. It's sort of a tradition.
Cool, Alex said. We've been too.
You're a Mets fan? Yasmin asked with an actual glimmer of excitement.
Not really.
You like the Yankees? She asked.
Judging from the look on her face, Yasmin found this prospect even more disgusting than the Danglers.
Neither one, Alex replied. My brother's the sports fan. He's this big jock. His room, you walk in and it's nothing but shiny trophies, like a dragon's hoard. An athletic dragon. John's pretty much a slob except for his trophies. Those he keeps spotless. He has this special cleaning kit my mom got him when his football team won the championship.
Yasmin nodded, half listening, while she positioned herself to twist off the next dangler.
You like any sports at all? She asked.
Not really, Alex said.
John's always trying to get me to watch more football. He says it's good for me, like a vitamin or something. And then when my attention wanders because watching people go up and down a field a few feet at a time is really boring, he gets ticked off.
What's wrong with you? Why can't you just like sports like a normal kid?
Your brother sounds like a jerk, Yasmin said, grimacing.
She was growing frustrated with the dangler. It wasn't twisting off as easily as the others.
John isn't all bad, Alex said, suddenly feeling disloyal to his brother by speaking ill of him. Sometimes he watches old Twilight Zone episodes with me. And one time, when this kid was being mean to me at school...
Alex trailed off, noticing that he had lost Yasmin's attention.
How about you? He asked. You have any brothers or sisters?
Yasmin opened her mouth, about to answer, and then a startled look crossed her face. She glared at Alex with renewed mistrust.
My family is none of your business, she snapped. How many times do I have to tell you we're not friends?
Yasmin turned her back toward Alex with a definitive spin of her heel. Apparently, their conversation was over. It took a lot to make Alex angry, but he felt it bubbling up inside of him now. He was tired and hungry and suddenly feeling foolish for helping this girl in the first place.
What is your problem? He asked.
Right now?
Yasmin replied, tugging cautiously on the vine.
This dangler, it's stuck. I mean your problem with me.
Yasmin sighed and slowly twisted the dangler in a clockwise motion.
I don't have a problem with you, Alex. Yeah, you do, he said.
It was nice to let loose, stoke his anger into flames.
You have from the start. I don't get it. We're on the same team. This from the boy who hates sports. You know what I mean. We're both prisoners.
Prisoners? Yasmin asked with a mocking half-smile.
Last time I checked, you spend your days in a comfy library making up stories. Poor thing.
I'm still trapped here. Like you. His voice softened, the anger having run its course.
You can trust me, Yasmin. I know exactly what you're going through.
No, you do not!
Yasmin screeched, her eyes suddenly filling with tears.
You think just because you've been here a week you have any idea what it's been like for me? You have no clue. It's all been so easy for you. In fact, you're probably having a blast, like you're the star in one of those stories you write. Only you've never seen Natasha truly lose it like I have. You've never seen the horror in your friend's eyes as the magic starts to do its work and...
As Yasmin talked, her attempt to detach the stubborn sack from the vine grew increasingly violent until she was twisting it from side to side with reckless abandon. Now it finally came free and immediately slipped out of her fingers, hitting the table with a solid plop.
No! Yasmin exclaimed.
Two red pincers burst through the outer layer of the sack and dug into the wood, gaining purchase and dragging the rest of the body to freedom. Alex watched in disgust and fascination as dozens of bristly legs shook off the rest of the sack like an unwanted sleeping bag.
It's a centipede, Alex thought.
Except it was more than that, of course. Centipedes didn't have legs that hummed and vibrated like the blades of an electric razor, nor did they have a periscopic eye dangling from a stalk in the center of their head. Yasmin brought her foot down, but the creature was too fast. It skittered along the tabletop, squeezing between pots and along leaves, its body undulating like a snake. As it moved, its vibrating legs spit sawdust into the air and left a long, shallow gouge in the tabletop. It passed over a fallen leaf and shredded it to nothing.
Shredder, Alex thought, naming the creature in his head.
Get it!
Yasmin exclaimed. They sprinted toward the back of the nursery, Alex running alongside the table as Yasmin tracked their quarry up top, avoiding the other plants as best she could. When the shredder came close enough to the edge, Alex slammed his gloved fist down. He lifted his hand, hoping to see bug guts smeared across the table. Nothing.
Where'd it go?
Yasmin asked. Alex shook his head. He had no idea. They both listened closely for any possible sound. Even Lenore joined them, ears perked, tiny monkey fingers protruding from her paws. Ready for action, Alex thought, with an unexpected feeling of affection for his foe. Finally, he heard a humming sound above him. Alex looked up just as a many-legged shadow skittered across the underside of the black lights, dusting the plants below with flecks of glass.
There!
Alex exclaimed, pointing up. It was too high for the children to reach, even standing on the tabletop. Not too high for Lenore, though. The cat hissed and leaped onto the trellis, clinging to it with her tiny fingers, and climbed upward. She wasn't an expert climber by any means. Slowly but surely, however, she made her way closer to the light fixture hanging from the ceiling.
Not that I'm complaining, Alex said, but why is Lenore helping us?
She's not, Yasmin said. She's protecting Natasha's plants.
Works for me.
They followed the shredder, trying to keep it in sight as it cut a yellow wire with its sharp legs. Electricity sparked in the air. The black lights flickered and then went out altogether. Without them, the plants instantly stopped glowing. The children were plunged into darkness. Alex had never been afraid of the dark, but he had also never been in a magical nursery filled with scary plants and a razor-legged centipede before. That changed things. He ran to the nearest source of light, Yasmin by his side. The shredder followed them, dancing across the suspended metal hoods and finding the next yellow wire in no time at all. It was a quick learner. Another row of black lights went out, birthing a second pocket of darkness. They moved deeper into the nursery, away from the exit.
"We're going the wrong way," Alex said.
"It's okay," replied Yasmin. "We can still fix this."
Yasmin,
if we don't, Natasha is going to be furious. That might be okay for you, storyteller, but not for me. I'm just the girl who waters the plants. I can be replaced.
The suspended black lights creaked in protest as Lenore leaped onto them, landing gracefully on all four paws and immediately vanishing before their eyes. Alex could still track her progress, however. The lights creaked beneath her weight as the invisible cat stalked her prey. Lenore moved fast for her size. There was no way the centipede was going to make the next wire before 20 pounds of invisible cat caught her.
"Get ready," Alex said. "If Lenore knocks it down, we can't let it get away this time."
They heard a quiet hiss, as though Lenore was getting ready to pounce.
Before she could, however, the centipede abruptly changed directions and leaped back onto the trellis, landing on the sick vine. "What's it doing?" Alex wondered, noticing that it was running on the underside of the vine and not along the top. The first dangler fell, cut loose by those tiny vibrating legs, and then the second, the third.
"It's cutting them all free,"
Alex realized with horror. Yasmin hopped on the table in one fluid motion, stepping on the first dangler before the sack even opened. By the time she got to the second one, two antennae had poked through the skin, their ends like prickly balls. It met a similar end beneath her sneaker. The third one managed to escape its sack entirely. Alex caught a glimpse of far too many eyes before slamming a potted plant on top of it. The shredder had already vanished into the darkness. The vine shook, and Alex heard tiny thumps as dangler after dangler fell to the table. Listening closely, he heard other sounds as well. Scratching, clicking, slithering. Lenore, having finished a quick descent down the trellis, approached the sounds. Her back was arched. The black lights augmented her luminous green eyes.
"Lenore," Alex said, "don't. There are too many. You'll get hurt."
She looked at him askance, as though the concern in his voice had surprised her, and vanished. In the darkness, they heard a loud yowl as Lenore attacked. More sounds. Hissing. A buzzing noise like a flying insect. A pot shattering. Lenore screeched in pain. Alex knew he shouldn't feel bad. The cat was his enemy, not his friend. But whether it was intentional or not, she was helping them right now. "I can't just let her die." He took a step toward the darkness, but Yasmin grabbed his arm and shook her head.
"We need to help her," Alex said.
"Lenore can take care of herself," Yasmin said. "You were right before. We should get out of here while we still can."
The trellis shook as something crashed into it. Lenore hissed, and a chorus of foes replied in challenge. Sharp chirps and angry chitters and high-pitched squeals.
"So many," Alex thought.
Lenore started to hiss a second time, but then there was a snapping sound like a whip smacking concrete, followed by a large thump as something hit the ground.
"Lenore?"
Alex asked. He heard a sizzle of electricity, followed by a blinding flash. The lights went out. This time, it was all of them. 11. The Kind of Shadows with Teeth. Alex was tempted to sprint full speed toward the exit. The trouble with that was if he tripped or banged into a table, he might lose all sense of direction and start heading the wrong way. Right now, he knew that if he kept walking in a straight line, he would eventually reach the entrance to the apartment. He couldn't risk straying from that.
"Slow and steady,"
Yasmin whispered, apparently coming to the same conclusion.
"Stay together."
Her voice was a comfort in the pitch black of the nursery. What wasn't comforting were the other sounds. The crunch of leaves torn between incisors. The grinding of tiny teeth against bark. The creatures were doing what all newborns did. Eat. It seemed to be keeping them distracted for now, which was good, but Alex was afraid that if they heard two juicy children sneaking by, their appetites might take a quick turn toward the non-vegetarian.
"One step at a time,"
Alex thought, trying to move as quietly as possible.
"You'll be there before you..."
He knocked into Yasmin. Something rattled in the dark, taking notice.
"Why'd you stop?"
Alex whispered.
"I kicked something," she said. "I think it's Lenore."
Alex bent down, lowering his hand into the darkness. He felt warm, soft fur. She seems to be breathing okay, Alex thought, feeling the rising and falling of a rib cage. But why isn't she moving? He slid his hand over Lenore's stomach and winced. There was something wet and sticky beneath his fingertips. Blood.
She's hurt, he said. She'll be fine. We have to help her. We have more important things to worry about than Natasha's little snitch.
Alex understood where Yasmin was coming from, but he couldn't just leave Lenore behind. Who knew what the other creatures might do to her? He slipped his hands beneath the cat and cradled her to his chest.
I'll carry her, Alex said. Fine, muttered Yasmin.
Boy and girl and cat navigated the darkness. Alex's ears grew attuned to the slightest sound, but for the most part, the dangler born left them alone. There were a few exceptions. The worst of these was when Alex felt something crawling along the nape of his neck but couldn't do anything about it because he was carrying Lenore. Luckily, Yasmin managed to slap it away just before it scuttled down his back. After a while, the sounds faded to silence.
I don't think they're following us anymore, Alex said. They must be busy eating all the plants.
Or the other way around, Yasmin said. A lot of these plants are carnivorous. How's the cat?
Heavy, but still breathing.
I guess it could have been worse, Yasmin said. At least those things are all trapped in the nursery. If they had gotten into Natasha's precious apartment, then we really would have been in trouble.
Alex froze in place. Yasmin took a few steps forward and then stopped as well.
Alex? She asked. I don't hear your footsteps.
About the closet door, he said. I don't think it's going to stop them.
Sure it will, Yasmin said. You afraid the insects will crawl right under? Don't worry, it doesn't work that way. When you close the door, it seals magically. Nothing can get through.
There was a long silence.
You did close the door, right? Yasmin asked.
Mostly, Alex said. It's just, it was really dark, so I left the door open the tiniest bit to let a little light in.
Yasmin immediately broke into a run. Alex did the same, though he had no chance of keeping up, especially with a giant cat weighing him down. The slap of Yasmin's sneakers grew distant in the dark. A few minutes later, he entered the apartment. It was infested. Alex's first thought was of a city street at rush hour, except instead of commuters and cars, the floor was trafficked by orange roaches and tarantulas and tiny rodents with barbed tails. And not just the floor, either. A gray blur scuttled along an upper bookshelf, knocking magical treasures to the floor. Rubbery strands dangled from the ceiling like jellyfish tentacles. A lizard poked its flat, coin-shaped head out of a torn sofa cushion like a swimmer coming up for air.
That's why the nursery got so quiet, Alex thought. They all came here.
Glass shattered in the kitchen. This was quickly followed by a thunderous crash from deeper inside the apartment. Alex suspected that a dresser in one of the bedrooms had fallen over.
They're everywhere! Yasmin exclaimed, swatting at a brown bee that had landed on the brim of her cap. What do we do?
Alex felt Lenore move in his arms and placed her gently on the floor. She took in the situation, groggy but aware. Her right side was matted with blood, but that didn't stop her from snatching a green worm between her fingers and pulling it apart.
We might be outnumbered, Alex said, but we're a lot bigger than they are. You focus on the floor, Yasmin said. I'll swat.
Like one of those city-destroying monsters in the old Japanese movies he loved, Alex stomped across the living room floor, trying to crush anything that moved. Meanwhile, Yasmin grabbed a frying pan from the kitchen and used it on danglerborns squirming along walls or scuttling across countertops. For a few minutes, they seemed to be making some headway. Then their prey began to fight back. Alex heard a loud smack as Yasmin swatted a yellow mosquito on her neck. At almost the same moment, he felt a sharp pain in his ankle. He kicked his foot and a furry lump sailed across the room. Before he could see where it went, something landed on his lower back and immediately began to climb higher, claws tearing through his shirt and into his skin.
"Get it off of me!" he screamed. "Turn around!" exclaimed Yasmin.
Alex spun in place and felt her hand sweep across his back. A black lizard with 8 legs landed on the floor and quickly vanished behind the couch.
"Thanks," Alex said, while backing warily away from the wall.
A swarm of Danglerborn were congregating there, organizing an attack.
"Let's get to the library. I left the door locked, so there's no way they could have gotten inside. Magical seal, right?"
"That's not going to work," Yasmin said.
"Look behind you."
Alex turned. Silver webs now covered the 2 archways leading out of the living room. He picked up a wand that had been knocked from the bookshelf and poked a single strand. It was as solid as steel wire.
"No way we're getting past that," Alex thought. "We're trapped."
The horde of Danglerborn crawled down the wall and crossed to the center of the room. Their hisses and rattles took on an almost jubilant tone as they closed in on their prey.
"Any ideas?" Yasmin asked.
"There are like 100 magical objects in this room," Alex said, raising the wand in his hand. "There must be something we can use."
"I'm not a witch," Yasmin said, "and you're not a wizard."
"Maybe they work for anyone," Alex said, pointing the wand in the direction of the approaching creatures.
"Kaboom! Flameo! Freeze it!"
Other than making him feel exceedingly foolish, the wand didn't do a thing. The Danglerborn continued their steady approach. Alex pressed his back against the bookshelf. He felt something crawl up his left leg, land on his cheek, in his hair.
"What's going on here?"
Natasha stood at the front door, hands on hips, eyes wide with fury. The Danglerborn leaped off Alex's body, searching for safety.
"My apartment!"
she screeched, taking in the wreckage around her.
"What have you done to my beautiful apartment?"
Natasha flicked her 2 hands outward, and the Danglerborn vanished in tiny puffs of smoke. She crossed the room, ignoring the children for now, and snapped her fingers. The silver webs blocking the archways shriveled into dust. With her path now cleared, Natasha continued into the other rooms. Alex heard more puffs as the remaining intruders were exterminated. A few moments later, Natasha returned to the living room and sat on her favorite chair, too livid to speak. Alex thought about trying to explain, but he was afraid that if he broke the silence, it would be the last thing he ever did. Natasha was a coiled snake looking for a reason to strike.
"I can explain," Yasmin started.
"No need,"
Natasha replied, her eyes like chipped ice.
"I know what happened. You did something stupid. It brought these vermin into being. They wrecked my apartment. What more do I need to know?"
Lenore limped over and took a seat by her master's side. There were new wounds all over her body, including a particularly nasty gash just beneath her eye. Natasha waggled her fingers, and Lenore's tail solidified into a long block of stone.
"How could you let this happen?"
Natasha snapped. Lenore struggled to flee, her new tail dragging against the floor.
"You were supposed to be watching them! This is your fault!"
The witch opened her hand, and a tiny fireball shot at Lenore. It seared the back of her fur, leaving a black streak against the orange. Lenore yowled in pain.
"Stop hurting her!" Yasmin exclaimed. "She tried to help!" "Who gave you permission to speak?"
Natasha asked, nostrils flaring.
"Sorry.
Never had much use for that word."
Natasha said.
It ain't magic. It don't undo what you've done. It's just a word.
She closed her fists and stretched her fingers like a pianist preparing for a performance.
It's too bad. You were a good little worker while it lasted. You make some mean mashed potatoes, too. Fluffy with just a bit of kick to it. I'll miss those potatoes. I really will.
She shrugged.
Oh, well, I'm sure your replacement will come knocking at my door any day now. Someone always does.
Natasha raised her hands into the air. When nothing happened, she grimaced and closed her eyes in deep concentration. A bead of sweat ran down her temple.
Come on,
she muttered, like a driver trying to start a car past its prime.
Come on!
Alex had never seen Natasha struggle to cast a spell before. It must be especially powerful. He turned toward Yasmin. Her eyes were terrified, but she showed no inclination to run. Where could she go? There was no escape from the apartment, no use trying to fight. Alex wished there was something he could do to help, but he knew it was pointless. He would only make things worse on himself.
I'm safe, he thought. It's like Yasmin said. For one reason or another, Natasha needs my stories. She won't hurt me.
He was ashamed by the relief this thought brought him.
Coward, he thought. You're only worried about yourself.
He turned away, unable to look at Yasmin any longer. He felt like he had betrayed her.
Maybe Natasha won't be able to get the spell to work, Alex thought.
But then there was a loud whoosh, like the flames finally coming to life in a stubborn old furnace, and the witch's hand began to glow with an eerie blue light.
Finally, Natasha said, smiling with satisfaction.
She stretched her hands toward Yasmin. Lightning danced between her fingertips, the magic anxious to be unleashed. Yasmin's eyes widened, and she muttered something that might have been a name. Alex felt her fear as though it were his own. They might not have been friends, but there was still a link between them, a shared experience that no one else could ever understand.
I can't let this happen, he thought.
Alex scraped together as much bravery as he could and stepped in front of Yasmin.
It wasn't her fault, he said.
His voice trembled.
It was mine.
Move, storyteller, Natasha snarled.
I couldn't think of a new idea for a story, Alex said, his mind assembling the details on the fly. And so I begged Yasmin to take me down to the nursery. I thought, creepy plants, maybe I can think of something cool. She made me promise not to touch anything, only when she wasn't looking, I got curious and fed one of the vines. Guess I fed it the wrong thing because the next thing I know, it had all these sacks hanging from it.
Alex caught a glimpse of Yasmin's flabbergasted expression. She couldn't believe that he was taking the blame for her.
You did this? Natasha asked, wincing as a fresh volley of lightning snapped between her fingers.
Her hands had begun to shake violently. She balled them into fists, trying to keep the magic in check.
You're more trouble than you're worth, storyteller.
Alex realized that he had made a horrible mistake. The fact that he wrote scary stories might have helped him if Natasha was thinking logically, but right now she was barely thinking at all. She just wanted to punish someone. The witch stretched her hands toward him. He closed his eyes.
No, 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 she commanded. You have to open your eyes or you'll ruin the final...
The apartment began to quake.
No!
Natasha exclaimed.
Not now!
The distraction caused the witch to lose her hold on the spell. Blue fire shot from her hands and struck the wall with an anticlimactic puff of smoke.
The spell only works on people, Alex thought,
wondering what it would have done to him.
Sorry!
Natasha exclaimed, grasping him by the shirt and drawing him close.
Now!
Alex did as he was told without hesitation. He had tested his luck enough for today. As the apartment continued to rumble, he ran to the library, snagged the notebook on the desk, and hustled back. In his absence, a large crack had appeared on the living room wall. A sickly sweet smell, like cotton candy left in the car on a hot summer's day, filled the room.
"What is that?"
Alex asked, holding his nose.
"It doesn't matter," Natasha said. "Just read your story. And for your sake, it better be a good one."
The playground. Foster Playground was where all the dead kids played. You could hear them at night, giggling and whispering. Even when there was no wind, swings arced high into the sky and the seesaw squeaked up and down. Todd knew to stay away. He had heard stories about the bad things that happened there. But when his best friend Jenny died, his heart shattered into a thousand pieces, and all he could think about was how badly he wanted to see her again. The night after her funeral, he snuck out of his house and went to the playground. It was a warm summer evening, but as soon as Todd stepped onto the wood chips, he began to shiver. The air was different here. Not just colder, but with a metallic taste, like biting down on an old coin. It wasn't air meant for living people. "I don't belong here," Todd thought. He almost left. But then he remembered Jenny and how lonely she must feel, and willed his feet across the wood chips. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Soon Todd stood before the tall wooden tower at the center of the playground. Two enclosed slides coiled from its top. One was red and one was green, but they both looked the same in the dark. Suddenly there was a loud thump at the top of the tower, and the slide rattled and shook beneath the weight of a passenger. Seconds later, a boy about Todd's age shot out of the hole in the bottom. His skin was pale, and he wore clothes that Todd had seen only in black and white movies. The pale boy examined Todd from head to toe. When he seemed satisfied, he placed two fingers in his mouth and whistled loudly. New faces peeked down at them from the top of the tower. Soon, children were pouring from the slides. Girls and boys, toddlers and teenagers. Some wore old clothes, though none as old as the pale boys. Others wore clothes like Todd's. Everyone seemed happy to see him. They jostled for position, trying to get as close to Todd as possible, as though he were a fire by which they could warm their hands. No one spoke. Their smiles were bright and wide. Todd asked if Jenny was there, but the children just laughed and ushered him from one piece of playground equipment to the next. They gave him no time to think. Giggles chased him to the top of the rock wall. Cold hands pushed him on the swings. They played for hours. From the top of the tower, the pale boy watched it all. At one point, Todd thought he saw a second figure up there as well. A girl. She kept trying to reach the slides, but the pale boy blocked her path. In time, Todd found himself laughing along with the other children. It was hard to remember why he had been so scared to come here. Foster Playground was a nice place. It was where he belonged. He only wished he were warmer. His body felt encased in ice, and it was becoming harder and harder to breathe. He looked up at the pale boy, wondering if he knew what was going on, but the boy wasn't looking in his direction anymore. He was looking at the sky, where threads of morning sunlight were just beginning to appear. The boy's face curled into a wicked smile. In a flash, Todd remembered the stories he had heard about this place. Finally, he understood. "If I'm still here in the morning, I'll be here forever." He spun around, trying to escape, but the children grabbed him and pulled him back. They were no longer smiling. Todd tried to shout for help, but all that came out were plumes of cold air. The children dragged him backward, giggling, making a game of it now. Todd's feet left shallow trails in the wood chips. Above him, he could see the sun starting to rise. Morning was just a few minutes away. He heard the sound of someone coming down the slide and watched the opening, expecting to see the pale boy, his mocking grin. Except it wasn't the pale boy. It was Jenny. She shoved the children away and helped Todd to his feet.
"Go," she mouthed. "Go, go!"
Todd ran as fast as he could, racing the children to the edge of the playground. He felt tiny hands claw at the back of his shirt, and then he leaped onto the safety of grass. When he turned around, the children were already walking with slumped shoulders back toward the wooden tower. Only Jenny remained looking in his direction.
"Thank you," Todd said, tears filling his eyes. "And goodbye."
She smiled sadly and vanished in the morning light. As Alex reached the end of the story, the apartment gave one final shudder, knocking a jade talisman off its pedestal, and stopped rumbling completely. Yasmin sighed with relief. Alex's feelings were more complicated. He was glad that the apartment hadn't crumbled into dust, but unnerved by the power his stories held over such an evil place. "Does that prove there's something wrong with me?" he wondered. Alex's thoughts drifted to the story he refused to tell Natasha, the real reason he had decided to toss his notebooks in the furnace. He had been in math when the phone rang. Natasha grabbed his arm, breaking his train of thought.
"Seriously?" she asked. "That's the end of the story?"
The murderous fury had left her eyes, but she didn't exactly look happy either.
"Was it bad?"
Alex asked, warmth spreading over his face.
"No," Natasha said. "That's the point. It's not bad at all. The boy gets away, safe and sound."
"Sometimes that happens."
"Not in my experience."
The story wasn't dark enough for her, Alex thought. There were creepy dead kids, which was always good, but at its heart, the playground was more about friendship than ghosts. Alex had written it after his best friend moved to New Jersey.
"How about this instead?" Natasha suggested. "The ghosts follow the boy home and kill him in his sleep. Much better."
"The ghosts can't leave the playground."
"That isn't even a thing," the witch insisted. "Ghosts haunt houses and castles and hotels, maybe the occasional school. I've never heard of a ghost haunting a playground, and I'm a witch, which makes me an..."
"Jenny helps Todd escape," Alex said. His cheeks were still red, but now it was from stubbornness, not embarrassment.
"That's what happens. She's a true friend even after her death." "You mean it's a happy ending?"
Natasha asked, mortified. Alex shrugged his shoulders.
"It's not exactly happy," he said.
"Jenny is still dead, and she's going to be trapped in that playground for eternity. Does that make you feel better?"
"A little," Natasha admitted. "But what I think isn't important. Happy endings can be dangerous things."
You soothed the apartment this time, but your story just as easily could have.
"I liked it," Yasmin said.
Natasha and Alex turned in surprise. It was the first time that Yasmin had spoken during their story sessions.
"No one asked you," snarled Natasha.
She shook her head at the debris covering the living room floor.
"Clean this place up, storyteller. Girl, attend to the nursery. Make sure you repot any plants that can still be saved. I have some new orders coming in, and I don't want to be short on ingredients. When I wake up tomorrow, I expect this place to be spotless."
Alex and Yasmin exchanged a look of relief. Considering the alternative, staying up all night cleaning seemed like a small punishment indeed. They immediately set to work on their assigned tasks. Yasmin smiled at Alex and waved goodbye before entering the nursery. He waved back. Meanwhile, Natasha shuffled across the floor, her gait like that of an old woman, and paused before the wall with the big crack. She raised a hand, as though to cast some sort of spell, and then thought better of it, and continued toward her bedroom at the end of the hall. Natasha's body blocked his view of the keyhole, but the telltale scratching of a bone key left little doubt that she was going into her secret room. Whenever Natasha had done this in the past, she always glanced over her shoulder first to make sure that no one was watching. If Yasmin or Alex happened to be in the nearby vicinity, she would send them away before opening the door. Tonight, however, Natasha's exhaustion had gotten the better of her. Without so much as a glance over her shoulder, she carelessly opened the door wide and stepped across the threshold. For just a moment, Alex was able to see past her. Night sky, pine trees, forest floor. Natasha closed the door. "It's not a room," Alex thought, his heart fluttering with excitement. "It's an exit. We can use it to escape." All they needed was the witch's key. By the time Alex finally crawled beneath the blankets, his entire body ached. Still, he was in a good mood. There were some stains that would require a second scrubbing in the morning, but other than that, the apartment had been restored to its pre-Dangler state. He closed his eyes and thought about Natasha's keys. "She never puts them down. Ever. So how do I get a hold of them?" His mind cycled through possible ideas, looking for one that fit. It was like trying to figure out what should happen next when he was writing a story. Could I pickpocket her? Not without getting caught. What about when she sleeps? Natasha locked her bedroom door at night, so that wouldn't work. He'd need a key to steal the key. Can I use any of the magical artifacts on the shelves? Alex didn't think so. He had handled many of them while cleaning and felt nothing magical at all. If he were a warlock, then maybe...
"Why are you thinking so hard?" he heard his older brother interject. "Just hit her over the head with a frying pan and be done with it."
Alex could see all sorts of problems with that plan, too. What if he missed? What if she didn't lose consciousness? What if Lenore stopped him? It was too big of a risk. He wished he could brainstorm ideas with Yasmin. She understood Natasha and the apartment a lot better than him. But can I trust her? He didn't know. It was clear that Yasmin had experienced some horrible things. He remembered what she'd said about seeing the horror in her friend's eyes. "There must have been other prisoners before me," Alex thought. "That's why she's scared of acting out against Natasha. She's seen firsthand what happens when you don't behave." If he told her what he was planning, Yasmin might immediately spill the beans rather than risk getting in trouble. Then again, he thought, I'm not sure I have a choice. I can't do this on my own. He turned on his side, too tired to think about it any longer. Despite his exhaustion, sleep refused to come. He shivered in fear, wondering if Yasmin's friend had once slept in the same bed as him, if not the bottom bunk, then maybe the top one. What about the mystery girl who wrote in the storybooks? Did she sleep here too? What if she didn't escape? What if one night, asleep in this very bed, Natasha crept into this room and dragged her out? He heard a rustling sound. Alex sat up in bed, instantly awake.
"Who's there?" he asked.
The noise continued. He crept out of bed, his bare feet icy cold on the wooden floor, and carefully scanned the room. The rustling was coming from the closet. Natasha must have missed one of the Danglerborn, he thought. Seeing no better weapon available, he picked up one of his sneakers, still sticky with bug guts, and padded across the floor. Alex gathered his courage and then opened the door quickly, intending to take his visitor by surprise. The sound stopped. The closet looked no different than usual. His backpack was tucked into one corner. Above it, clothes and empty hangers hung from a wooden rod. "What the heck?" Alex asked, mystified. He lifted his bag, wondering if something might be hiding behind it, and a dark shape scuttled out of a hole torn in the side. With a shriek of surprise, Alex dropped the backpack and kicked the closet door shut, catching the insect just as it was crossing the threshold. There was a crunching noise, like someone squeezing a fistful of potato chips, and the insect stopped moving. "The shredder," Alex thought, recognizing the dozens of sharp, bristly legs. "Must have been hiding in my backpack when Natasha cleaned out the apartment." He glanced at the bag, wondering what the shredder had been up to this entire time, and his heart froze. A trail of torn paper spilled from the hole. With trembling hands, Alex knelt down and unzipped the backpack.
"No!"
he exclaimed. He turned the entire bag over, hoping that there was some kind of mistake, that his two notebooks would fall to the floor and all would be well. They didn't. Instead, shredded paper rained down, collecting in a pile in front of him. He could make out the occasional word, phantom, bird, coffin, but mostly it was just incoherent letters. His stories had been destroyed. 12. Yasmin's Story. After discovering the fate of his notebooks, Alex was too upset to sleep. He couldn't stop thinking about the hours spent writing each story, the shock of discovery when a new character stepped out of the shadows, the frustration when a plot withered and died, the sheer bliss of unearthing a perfect word. The writing had been agonizing at times, but it had also been wonderful. "And now I have nothing to show for it," he thought. More than anything else, Alex regretted not sharing the stories when he had a chance. He pictured a graveyard with the words "They died unread" etched into each tombstone and felt a mixture of guilt and loss. Unfortunately, resurrecting the stories wasn't a possibility. Alex might remember some of the plots and characters, but piecing them back together again would be like reassembling a cracked eggshell. No matter how hard he tried, the stories would never be the same. There was no time to grieve for what he had lost, however. Without those two notebooks, Alex no longer had a stockpile of stories from which to draw. His situation had become more perilous than ever. "How many stories do I have left? How many days before Natasha no longer has any use for me?" Alex needed to know. He sprinted to the library, suddenly convinced that the final notebook had also been torn to bits, and sighed with relief when he found it safe and sound on the desk. Alex carefully flipped through its pages, taking stock of the stories that he hadn't yet read to Natasha. He found one that would work, and then a second that he had abandoned midway, thinking it a lost cause. Alex read it again. Sometimes he would revisit a draft after a week or two and find that it was a lot better than he thought. Unfortunately, this particular story had not improved. In fact, it was even worse than he remembered. He continued flipping. There were two more stinkers, and then another story near the back of the book that wasn't half bad. Two stories. That was all he had left. "Okay," Alex said, pacing back and forth. "No big deal. I just have to start writing again. Plenty of time." Alex sat in front of the open notebook and smoothed down a fresh page. Despite his lack of sleep, he felt energized, He hadn't written anything in over a week, and he was excited to make up for lost time. "This is going to be fun," Alex thought. He picked up a pencil and started to jot down some ideas. 3 hours later, Alex was sitting in the exact same position. The gears of his mind, which normally spun like a well-oiled engine, felt clogged with molasses. He couldn't come up with a single good idea. The harder he tried, the more difficult it became. He remembered another term that Ms. Coral had written on the board, writer's block. Alex hadn't liked that one nearly as much as interior logic. At last, someone knocked on the door. Alex leaped out of his seat to answer it. "Good morning," Yasmin said. She looked different. For one thing, she wasn't wearing her Mets cap. Her long hair, still wet from a recent shower, fell straight down her back. Gone, too, were the work clothes she normally wore, replaced by jeans and a faded gray T-shirt a size too big for her. The difference in Yasmin was more than just her physical appearance, however. She stood straight and proud, with a relaxed confidence that Alex had never seen before. He felt like he was meeting the real girl for the first time. "Hey," Alex said. "Hey," replied Yasmin. There was a stone mortar filled with gray paste in her hands. She held it out now like a new neighbor delivering a pie. "I made a poultice from some plants in the nursery. I figure you have a ton of bites and scratches from yesterday. This will help with the pain." "Thanks," Alex said, taking it. "That was really nice of you." "If you hadn't taken the blame for what happened yesterday, I wouldn't be standing here right now. It seemed the least I could do." "It was no big deal," Alex said, fighting a blush and losing. "Any idea what kind of spell she was going to cast on us?" Yasmin nodded. "We'll get to that," she said. "Can you take a break for a few minutes? I know you have a lot of questions, and I figure it's time someone told you a story for a change." She nodded toward a nasty gash on his hand. "But get some poultice on that first. It looks pretty bad." Alex did as she suggested. The pain instantly started to fade. "Wow," he said, already smearing a substantial amount across a second wound on his forearm. "How'd you learn to make this stuff? I thought Natasha only sold oils." "This isn't for sale," Yasmin said. "It's for her prisoners. In case someone gets hurt, she wants them up and about as quickly as possible. There are oils to be made, you know. Or in your case, stories to be written." She took a deep, lingering breath, like a student before a final exam. "You want to sit down before I start? This could take a while." "Hold on," he said. "I'm dying to hear your whole story. I really am. But first," he raised the mortar, "there's someone who needs your poultice a lot more than I do." They found Lenore curled up in the corner of the kitchen. Her orange and black fur was spotted with blood, but at least her tail looked better. The stone that previously encased it had shattered, littering the floor with pebbles. Alex knelt down beside her. "Hey, Lenore," he said softly. "I have medicine. It will make you feel better." The cat managed to raise her head a few inches off the floor and hiss. It was as fearsome as air leaking from a bicycle tire. "At least we don't have to worry about getting scratched," Yasmin said with reluctant sympathy. "The poor thing can barely move." Alex dabbed a bit of poultice on two fingers and lowered it toward a bite mark on Lenore's stomach. The cat vanished. "I can't help you if I can't see you," Alex said in a parental tone. When Lenore didn't reappear, he added, "Have it your way," and smeared the poultice in the general vicinity of the bite. At first, the cat squirmed feebly, trying to avoid his touch. After just a few seconds, however, she grew suddenly still. "See," Alex said, "it feels better, doesn't it? Now stop being so stubborn and let me do this the right way.
Lenore turned barely visible, like a light at its dimmest setting.
Fine, her expression seemed to say, but this is all you get.
Alex gently spread the poultice over the cat's wounds. Lenore stiffened when he touched some of the nastier spots, but for the most part bore his ministrations without complaint.
Can you do that and listen to me at the same time? Yasmin asked. I've been holding everything inside for so long, and now I feel like I'm going to explode if I wait any longer.
Alex nodded in understanding. He had often felt the same way when sitting down to write a story.
Maybe we should talk somewhere else, he suggested, looking meaningfully at Lenore.
He lowered his voice to a whisper.
She might be out of it, but she's still listening. Anything you say.
This is all stuff that Natasha knows anyway, Yasmin said. Nothing that will get us in trouble.
Okay.
Yasmin started to take a seat, then changed her mind and paced back and forth across the kitchen floor. As she walked, she tucked her hands beneath her chin and wrung them together.
My first night in the apartment, I cried my eyes out, Yasmin said. I had no idea what was happening. All I knew was that some woman had tricked me into coming inside, and now I was trapped. It wasn't until the next morning that I learned I wasn't alone. There were three others. Eli, little Juan, and Claire.
She smiled sadly, remembering.
They taught me what I needed to know. Eli was in charge of the cooking. Juan did the cleaning. I learned how to tend to the plants in the nursery from Claire. She was a year older than me, with this big smile that could light up an entire room. She had been Natasha's prisoner the longest, but she hadn't lost her optimistic attitude. She kept saying that if we stuck together, everything would be all right.
Except they're gone now, Alex thought. So everything didn't turn out all right.
He sat perfectly still, no longer tending to Lenore, just listening. Part of him was riveted, but another part wanted to cover his ears before Yasmin's tale took its inevitable turn into darkness. For the first time in his life, Alex understood why some people stopped reading a scary story in the middle.
At night, we took turns reading to Natasha from one of the books in the library. All of us except Juan, that is. He didn't really know how to read yet. After Natasha had gone to sleep, we huddled together in Claire's room and tried to come up with an escape plan. Eli, who was kind of a hothead, insisted that if we all charged Natasha at once, we could tie her up, and then she'd have to let us go. Claire disagreed. She didn't think we stood a chance against Natasha's magic. She said that we just had to be patient and wait for our opportunity. It would come. Juan didn't say anything at all. Mostly, he just clung to Claire. Sometimes he cried, and she rocked him to sleep like a baby.
How about you? Alex asked.
I was Team Claire all the way, Yasmin said, in everything. We only knew each other for a few weeks, but it didn't matter. Living through such a horrible experience pushes you together a lot faster than regular life. She became my sister. Juan and Eli were my brothers. I'm not saying I was happy. None of us were happy. But at least we had each other.
Silence settled. Alex realized that Yasmin had reached the most difficult part of the story. She wouldn't continue unless he nudged her forward, like a reader turning a page.
Tell me what happened, he said.
She looked up. Her eyes were wet with memory.
I don't have to tell you, she said. I can show you.
Alex left a handful of Fruit Loops by Lenore's side and followed Yasmin into the dining room. She stopped in front of the antique china cabinet and studied the porcelain children lining the shelves. Alex followed her gaze. Until this point, he hadn't paid much attention to the figurines, but now he noticed that there was something off about their gleeful expressions.
The smiles look forced, he thought. like when a photographer takes too long to snap a picture, and you have to keep smiling whether you want to or...
Alex shivered as the truth hit him.
These are the kids who lived here before.